the way that I'm preaching the sermon I'm preaching. That you know, I asked Brother Troy the other day. I said, Brother Troy, would you sing? Because I knew he sang. I didn't know he sang that well, but I did know he sang. And so I asked him if he would sing, and he said yes. And so the other day he said, Brother Bo, I think I'm going to sing Midnight Cry, which, well, I've always loved the song. And when he said that, Brother Troy, the Holy Spirit quickened my spirit. Boom! I know what I'm preaching. And so immediately I started working on this sermon. And it's wonderful how the Holy Spirit uses us to touch each other. And iron sharpens iron, the Bible says. And so I invite you this morning to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 58. And this is going to be the quickest 12-minute sermon you ever heard. I'm just teasing about that. You know it's going to be longer than 12 minutes, right? Just teasing. Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God. I'm going to preach on the subject of listen, and I'll tell you a mystery. Listen now, and I'll tell you a mystery. Like a good mystery, don't we? Well, I got one for you today. The Bible says in verse 50 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, and I'll tell you a mystery. We'll not all sleep or die, but we'll all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. And when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, when that's all said and done, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, for he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brother, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully. How often? Fully. To the work of the Lord, because you know your labor in the Lord is not in vain. May God add his blessings to the reading of the word. You may be seated. I love this scripture. It's a scripture about the rapture of the church. I think it's the next great world event. It's going to happen. Many years ago, I was associate pastor at a church in Prescott, Arkansas, and we had an evangelist and his wife, Don and Vi Jensen, come and spend a week in revival. Wonderful service, wonderful people of God. And Vi, his wife, was 6'4", red-headed. I mean, she was a striking woman. You could pick her out of the crowd. Don, her husband, was 6'7", and handsome Texan. Good people, lived what they taught. I was able to stay in their home for a week. One time they invited me to come out and go to a conference, and what a blessing that was. Just got a double conference. I went to the conference and heard Bill Gothard, those of you that are familiar with him, and then spent the rest of the time with Don and Vi Jensen. Boy, that was awesome. But right when they were at our church, they had just had their first grandbaby, and she said, that scripture really rang true to her more than it ever had, that where the Bible says, and let's go back to verse 50, Brother Henry. I declare to you, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the perishable. But verse 51 says, I tell you a mystery. As she just had her first grandbaby, we'll not all sleep, but we'll all be changed. Did y'all get that? We'll not all sleep, but we will all be changed. Well, the Bible speaks here concerning the rapture of the church. And as we read these scriptures, we find four things that I want you to listen up about today. Four things to listen for. The first, I want you to listen that a transformation is coming. The second is Listen, because there's going to be a great triumph that's going to happen. Third, listen, because there's going to be thanksgiving going out to God. And fourth, listen, because it's going to cause us to have a tenacity to stay in the fight. Those four things. The first thing we're going to talk about is listen, because there's a transformation has to happen. Go to verse 50 again, Brother Don. I declare to you, brothers, see, here's a problem. Now think with it. We got a problem that we're going to discuss, but there's a promise that's going to be involved, and then a process we've got to go through. Here's a problem that we have. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Well, that's a problem because I'm in flesh and blood. Right? I got a problem because I've got flesh and I got blood and I cannot enter or inherit the kingdom of God. That's a problem. But God has the answer to it. And it says, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. So that which is perishing cannot inherit the imperishable. Flesh and blood, the physical, cannot inherit the spiritual kingdom of God. Go to verse 51. I'll tell you a mystery. Now see, the problem is that I can't get to heaven in my flesh and blood. I can't climb the stairs. I can't climb Jacob's ladder. I can't knock on the gate in my flesh and blood. Hello? Anybody home? The gates are not going to open wide and say, come on in, Bo. In my flesh. That's a problem. But here's a promise. We will not all sleep or die, but we will all be changed. We're all going to be changed. So this is a promise that God gives us, that we're going to have a change that's going to take place. A transformation has to happen before I can go into the kingdom of God. Now, to really understand that, there's a couple of scriptures I want you to go to. And Brother Don, let's go to Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. And maybe you can understand the promise of God and how that it happens. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 3, in verse 20, chapter 3 and verse 20. There we go. Our conversation is what the King James says. Our citizenship is what it means. Is where? In heaven. So when I became a child of God, when I had made Jesus Lord of my life in August of 1961, Rondo Baptist Church, when I did all of that, my citizenship was transferred. I now have my citizenship in heaven. How about you? Our citizenship is in heaven. I have a heavenly address. John 14, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, that Brother Freud spoke with. If it were not so, I'd have told you. But I'm going to go to prepare a place for you. Where I am, there you may be also. And if I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be there too. He's coming to get that bride that he was singing about, you see. Well, my citizenship, my address is already in glory, and I eagerly await a Savior from there. And then it identifies the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Now here's the problem with the church today, is we don't eagerly await. We stand on our laurels, we sit on our hands, and we're really not waiting for the Lord to come. We're just living our life like we want to live it. And if Jesus comes, if Jesus comes, and if he don't, we eagerly await it. I'm expecting it. I want it to happen. I'm like John the Revelator. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of the filth and the degradation. And every time I open the paper, it's full of filth. Every time I turn on the TV, it is nasty. And my spirit man goes, ooh, I don't want that. I am eagerly awaiting. I can't wait to get out of this vile body. I'm ready to get away from the junk and the dung of this world and step my foot on the other side. I eagerly await a Savior who's coming down from heaven, and I know his name and he knows mine. The Lord. Woo! Majesty. Jesus. Divinity, or the humanity, the Christ, the anointed one. That's who that is. Now let's go to verse 21. That's really what I want to say. Said all that to say this. Who, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, he's got the power to do that. Huh? He's got the power to bring everything under control. And by that power, here's what's going to happen. Here's his promise. He's going to transform our lowly bodies so that they'll be like his glorious body. So that's a promise. He's going to transform my lowly old filthy body, the one that's all broken down, the one that's got arthritis all inside of it. One's got that hip that sometimes I drag along. He's going to transform this old lowly, broken down old body into a glorious body. Now, some of you young people don't understand that. You don't appreciate it yet. But listen, you get my age, you'll appreciate that. I guarantee it. He's going to transform my old lowly body so that it'll be like his glorious body. Woo! 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2 tells us another thing about this glorious body. You see, Jesus, when he come out of that grave, a glorified body. Do y'all know that the stone was not rolled away to let Jesus out? It was let the disciples in to prove the fact that Jesus wasn't in there. He didn't need to knock on the door. He didn't need to wave his hand to move the stone. He just went through the rock. He went right through the rock. Boom, there he was. In the upper room, the disciples were all afraid. They locked the door. Don't let them Roman soldiers in there come get us. They were fearful. Jesus went, whoo, right through the walls. Boom, there he was. He was in his glorified body. Dear friends, now we're the children of God. When? Now? Not then? Right now, I'm the child of God. That means I'm no longer a sinner in the eyes of God. I'm his child. I'm a saint of the Most High God. We need to start living like saints and quit degrading ourselves to the status of a sinner. We're now the children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know this, that when Jesus appears, when he appears, we shall be like him. For we'll see him as he is. So when the Lord comes, I'll be in my, he's going to glorify my body to be like his. And I'll be able to recognize him for who he is. I'll be in the same condition he's in. I'll have a glorified, he's going to transform. He's going to metamorpho my body, which means he's going to change my form. It's going to be that metamorphosis from a caterpillar to a butterfly. Isn't it good? Right now, I'm an old caterpillar, just inching along, hoping nobody squishes me as he walks by. Barely an ugly, caterpillars aren't very pretty, you know. They just old, slow, pokey little old things and just barely can get around. And someday, if they're lucky enough, they'll crawl up and then they'll build them a little cocoon and they'll get in that cocoon, and a transformation's going to happen. Nobody understands exactly how it happens. It just, that old ugly-looking old bug just crawls up in this thing and makes a cocoon, and after a few days, all of a sudden, well, it's not an ugly old bug anymore. It's not a slow-moving little old grub. And it's not ugly. It's beautiful. Comes out, not only does it not crawl on the ground, it flies to the sky. It has beautiful wings that's painted by the majesty of the master's hand. And it has a flight that it can go anywhere it wants to. And we admire it. We look at the butterflies and say, oh, how beautiful the butterflies. We don't say that about the old lowly grub, do we? Ooh, that old caterpillar. So that's what's going to happen to me. He's going to transform my old lowly body and make it like his glorified body. Now, I'm like Brother Troy. If I don't get you stirred up, now come on now. Your wood's wet. They don't light a fire underneath you. Let's go back to our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Paul said, behold, I'm going to show you a mystery. We all like a good mystery. We're not all going to sleep, but we will be changed. We're not all going to physically die. You see, the Lord's going to come back. Right? And there's going to be some of us still. I happen to believe, and I think with good reason, that we are the last generation. I think the signs of the time, they're appearing everywhere. And the Bible teaches us in 1 Thessalonians to look at the signs. And we should not be taken aback like those that are of the night. That we're of the day, and we should be able to read these things and know the Lord's coming is soon. Now, we don't know exactly when, but we know he's promised he's coming. And these things are going to happen. And when he does, we shouldn't be surprised. We should be expecting it. Well, we're not all going to die, but we will all be transformed. We'll all be changed. Now, here's the process, verse 52. In a flash. In the twinkling of an eye. There's two different things here. The first part means in a flash. I think in the King James it's in a moment. In the Greek it's the word atom, atoma, which means our word atom. What it really is saying here is when you least expect it. I mean, the storm clouds are not going to gather and you're going to go, what's going? It's going to be whoo, just going to be here. Suddenly. Without warning, in a moment, in a flash, we're all going to be walking around, and next thing you know, boom, we're just gone. In the twinkling of an eye, and that word twinkling means this, like you throw a javelin, like you're hurling, we're just going to be whoo, hurled into space. Huh. I mean, just... I'll be up here preaching, and the next thing I know, I just won't be here. I'll just be hurled into space. And some of y'all are going to be going, where'd it go? Oh, I wouldn't want to be you. Oh, because listen, if all of a sudden I'm gone and lots of these folks are gone and y'all are sitting here, you're in for 7 years of hard tribulation, friend. You're in for something you ain't never going to get ready for. Whoa. You read the book of Revelation. Whoa, whoa, whoa. The wrath of God is going to come down on this ungodly, unholy, unrighteous, God-forsaking world. And rightly so. He has every right to do that. But I'm not going to be here. No, sir. I'm in the bride of Christ. Lord Jesus is the bridegroom, and he's going to come. Oh, I got chill bumps coming all over me. He's going to come and get the bride, and that's me. And that's you that named the name Jesus Christ for his children. And you know what? There's going to be a marriage in heaven. We're going to have a 7-year marriage feast. Boy, I can't wait for that. capacitators. And some of them cat head biscuits. Our poor visitors. They don't know. They're looking at me like a mule looking at a new gate. They don't. Y'all just bear with me. I'm getting to my point. Listen, but you know what? There's going to be a wedding. And listen, here's the coolest thing about this. I'm not going to be seated in the audience. Well, I'm going to be on the platform. The Lord Jesus is my bridegroom. And he's going to stand right here. I've performed lots of these. So I know how this works. The Lord Jesus is going to stand right here. And the Father is going to stand like right here as the officiating minister. And the bride will stand right here. And while the Father is going through the ceremony of uniting the bride and the bridegroom, I want to have the wonderful privilege to be looking into the eyes of my loving Lord Jesus Christ. Whew. Not from down there. Right here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I love you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. Thank you for being my husband. Thank you for being my soulmate. Thank you for living with me and preparing so wonderfully for me. Thank you for providing this beautiful mansion you provided for me. Thank you for all eternity. I'll never get sick. I'll never have to worry about this three-letter word called sin ever again. You love me enough to wipe all that away. I'll never have another tear come down my cheek. I'll never have to attend a friend of mine's funeral ever again. There'll be no funeral homes or cemeteries where I'm going. There'll be no hospitals there. I'll never have to worry. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, my husband, for loving me that much. I'm going to have the privilege of saying that to him. Eyeball to eyeball. And my glorified body to his glorified body. Ooh. I'm ready. I tell you. I'm ready. Now the process is in a moment, in the flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. The trumps were designed to call folks to attention. Something big fixing to happen. When the last trump sounds, trumpets were used to call people to war, call people to assembly. That was going. I believe that trumpet call is so loud it's going to wake up the dead. Dead in Christ. And the dead in Christ will be raised imperishable, and we that are living will be changed. Now to get that understanding, go to the next verse. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. Now is that saying the same thing? No, it's not. Let me clarify that for you right there. When it says, for the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, in other words, that which is decaying, that's perishable, right? It's got to clothe itself with things that are imperishable. That's talking about the dead in Christ. For those that are perishing, this body is decaying, must clothe itself with that which will not decay. And the mortal, that's the living saints, must clothe himself with immortality, that which will never die. So with this, it's talking about the dead in Christ and the living in Christ. For the perishable, those that have died in the Lord, must clothe itself with that which will not perish. And those of us that are living, that are still in our mortal bodies, must clothe ourselves with immortality. Verse 54. And when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Isaiah 25, verse 8, that's where that quotes that from. You see, when the Lord steps down, and the Bible says, as Brother West read in 1 Thessalonians 4, it's no accident that these scriptures come together. Have you figured that out? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So the Lord's going to step out, and he's going to cry a loud cry, kind of like he did at Lazarus's tomb in John chapter 11. The Bible says he went to the tomb and he said, "Lazarus," in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." Now he'd been dead how long? 4 days. He was stinking, according to the Bible. "Lazarus, come forth." And you know what happened? Lazarus came forth. The master spoke. Death had no hold on Lazarus. The master spoke and Lazarus came forward. One day there's going to be a loud cry, and those that are in the grave that are in Christ Jesus are going to hear that cry and they're going to come forth. And the voice of the archangel is going to speak, and I believe that's the archangels that's going to say, "Okay, guys, angels, let's get ready. We're going to make a pathway that the righteous are going to come down. They're going to line, I believe, the galaxies, and we're going to go up, and all the angels are going to be on either side just escorting us to glory." Isn't that something? And all the hellions of hell, as much as they want to try to stop it, they can't. That's what's cool about that. The devil and all his force are going to be trying to get to us. The archangel and all his angels will protect us. And the word of God, the Father, the Son, we're going to be ushered in with safety into the place that Christ has provided for us. At the last trump. And that's when the perishable, the dead in Christ are going to rise, and they're going to be given their glorified body. And the mortal, those of us that are living, we're going to be risen, and we're going to be glorified in a glorified body. And then that saying will come true, that death has been swallowed up in victory. Death is the great interloper. We know all about death down here, don't we? Death is as much a part of life as living. We grow up and we lose folks that we love. I'm looking out at folks that I know have experienced loss of loved ones. I have. It's so difficult at times. Even when we know that they're in a better place, we love them, we miss them. But one day, when that happens, death will be swallowed up in victory. Death will have no more dominion. Jesus Christ, when he come out of the grave, friend, he defeated it. It has no more power. It couldn't hold that body down, and it certainly won't hold this one down. If the Lord don't come when I think he should, and he's already missed his chance as far as I'm concerned. But when it's time for him to come, and if I have passed from this mortal to the perishable, and my body is decaying in the grave, don't worry about me. I'm coming up out of that. And I'm going to hear that trumpet call. I'm going to hear that loud command. And I'm going to come up, and I'm going to be with my Lord Jesus. And death will be swallowed up in victory. No death where I'm going. Verse 55. So, Paul begins to wax eloquently. And he quotes Hosea chapter 13 and verse 14. "Where, O death, is your victory?" And the answer is, "It ain't got one." "And where is your sting?" Now I want you to get this in verse 56. "The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law." Do you know two things about sin? Y'all get this, it's right here. Sin is painful, and sin is powerful. The sting of death is sin. Sin, it's got a sting to it. It's painful. I didn't get one amen, but I should have. Still didn't get one. What's wrong with y'all? Come on now. The sting of death is sin. When I sin, it hurts. It becomes painful. But oh, it feels so good at the beginning. There's a pleasure of sin for a season, the Bible says. I'm going to tell you, it has a bite. The sting of sin. The sting of death is sin. That's what makes it painful. And the power of sin, what powers the poison of sin, is the law. You see, it's the law of God that says, thou shalt not bear false witness, but yet I lie. Thou shalt not commit adultery, but yet I look on a woman with lust in my heart. And Jesus says, that's as bad as committing a sin. Wow. And Peter says, if you're guilty of breaking one of the laws, you're guilty of breaking them all. That's a unit. It's kind of like a plate, and if you break an edge off the plate's still no good, right? You broke a little of it, you broke it all. Listen, the power of sin is the law. It says to me that I am a lawbreaker, but praise be to God that I have victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that what it says next? Go to the next verse. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we've had a great transformation, and we've triumphed over this law, this sin, this life. When Jesus calls us home, we're going to have a triumph, triumphal entry. And now it's time to be thankful. But thanks be to God. You see, I didn't get victorious in my own right. No more than I saved myself. Now that's a lesson we need to learn. So many folks want to try to live so that they can't never... Oh, well, Brother Bo, huh? I've asked Jesus in my heart, but you know, if I do this such and such a thing, I'll be lost again. Who are you trusting for your salvation? You? Or God? You see, he keeps us saved. 1 Peter chapter 1 says that we have an inheritance that's undefiled, uncorruptible, that fades not away, that's reserved in heaven for me. And it's kept, and the word kept is a military term. It means guarded by the power of God. So when I gave my heart and my life to the Lord Jesus, when I really did, then I gave that to him. And thanks be to God, he gave me the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saved today, not because Bo lives so well that I'm going to go to heaven, because I don't. Let's get that on the table. I'm saved today because the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whenever I got serious with God and I knelt at an old-fashioned altar and I said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and I repent of my sin and I trust you to be my Savior and my Lord, he said yes. He said yes before I said yes, actually. He had already reached down his hand or I wouldn't have felt that touch. And when I reached up my hand, his was already extended, and he saved my wretched poor soul. By his mercy and by his grace, by his loving kindness. And from that point on, you see, I was saved by the power of God. It's going to keep me. I have victory in Jesus Christ. Boy, we're the American church. We're so fickle. Man, we're so ungrateful. We read about this, and I'm looking at it, y'all, and y'all are looking like, shame on you. Shame on you. I'm giving you the Word of God and the excitement of being a sold-out child of God and the fact that one day, one glorious day, He's going to step out, He's going to call my name, and I'm going to go. And I'm going to live eternally with Him. And y'all are bored to tears with it. Man. You know, I just know that if I was telling this story in Honduras or some foreign field, they'd be going, "Tell me more. Never heard such. Say it again." Had a missionary friend of mine went to a foreign field and began to preach on a Sunday, and multitudes came forward. The whole village came forward. And the whole village basically got saved. You see, they're like little children. They just hear the word and they just receive it. They don't have these walls built up. See, they all come down and just had a mass revival. They just all got saved. You know what happened Monday? They all showed back up to church. The preacher wasn't ready. He's like, "Well, what are y'all doing here?" "Oh, we come to hear more of that word." "Oh, well, okay, I guess I can figure out something." And he preached another one. You know what happened Tuesday? Here they all come back again. They couldn't get enough. And we got too much, right? Time for me to quit. "Shut up, preacher. It's 12:20. What some of you are saying. Oh, God, forgive us. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And one more point, and then I will shut up. Verse 58. Therefore, anytime you see the word therefore, you need to see what it's there for. Right? I said all that to say this. My dear brothers, here's what you need to do. Just stand firm. Stand firm. Don't let nothing move you. Don't let the cares of this world rock your boat. Don't let some other disgruntled church members whisper in your ear about all the bad stuff that's going on at the church and how that they've left too and you ought to follow them. Shame on them. They'll pay for that at Judgment Day. Discouraging the flock of God. Woo! I'm telling you. We don't need to tear each other down. We need to build each other up according to the Word of God. Don't let nothing move you. You stand firm. If they want to go, bye. Deacons always hate it when I do that. But hey, if you don't want to be here, you want to go someplace else, you want to go to the lake and spend the rest, bye. I'm going to stand firm. I'm not going to be moved. I'm always going to give myself fully to the work of the Lord, knowing this, that my labor in the Lord is not in vain. Now, if I'm out on the lake today, oh, come on, big boy. I've done that before. Oh, there he is. Yeah, there he is. Boy, I don't get no better than that. Pop another one for me. Huh? Give me another brewski over here. I love that commercial. They're all guys sitting around a campfire drinking their Miller Lite or whatever it is. Boy, I don't get no better than this. They're right, it only goes downhill from there. You see, now that's all fun. I love going fishing. I love doing things, and we need to have recreation. I'm not blasting that. But I'm saying when you do that instead of being with the Lord, shame on you. You see, I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to stand firm, and I'm not going to let anything move me, and I'm always going to give myself fully to the work of the Lord, because I know what little bit and how feeble it might be is not in vain. Maybe your work is to clean the toilets, Sue, but your work is not in vain. Maybe it's to clean up the parking lot. Your work is not in vain. It might seem trivial and menial to you, but your work is not in vain. Sometimes I get up here and I preach the Word of God, and I scream and I fuss and I kick and look like a little banty rooster up here, and y'all look at me like, poor little feller. He really thinks that we're really paying attention. And sometimes I think, God, these people don't listen. They don't get it. God, I'm sick of them, aren't you? You got sick of them, God? I do. I throw a little temper tantrum sometimes. Have a little pity party. But the Lord reminds me of scriptures, and this is one of them. Hey, son, you just keep doing what you're doing. See, he didn't call me to pastor a big old church that run 10,000. He called me to be faithful to his word. And that's what I'm going to do. If that runs a bunch of them off, again, bye. I'm going to stay on that word. And whoever shows up, I'm going to preach them the word. And it might step on your toes. And if it does, I missed my mark. I was trying to shoot for your heart. See? Feel a little short. See, by standing on the Word of God, that means that the Holy Spirit of God can do His designed work. And those that will have an ear to hear, they'll hear it. And those that won't, they'll just slip away. But not me, listen. The reason that Paul wrote this, boy, it's awesome, is really to encourage me, see. Listen, I'm going to tell you a mystery. If you'll stand firm, if you'll not be moved, if you'll always do the work of the Lord, recognizing your labor is not in vain, and fully be eagerly expecting, waiting, the soon return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And let's live that life that pleases Him. Now that's real living. That's real living. All this other stuff is just junk. That's real living. Jesus said, I've come to give you life, an abundant life. Listen, that's the most abundant life that I can live, is in service to my Lord and my King. Serving His people. Giving of myself totally and fully to Him first and to you second. That's the greatest life that I can live. So today, here's your mystery. We're going to be transformed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump. And we're going to have a triumphal time, man. It's going to be a big time, man. What a triumphal ceremony, and we're going to be thankful to God. Woo, we're going to be thanking Him. We're going to act like it's a Razorback game when we get up to glory. We're going to whoop and holler. Have a big old time. But listen, until then, I'm going to have the tenacity to stand firm and not be moved and always fully give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that what I do is not in vain. Will you bow your heads and close?